Welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Lizzie.
And today we have another special episode of FromCast. And we have our special guest, which is Scott, a.k.a. Victor. How the heck are you, Victor? I mean, Scott.
Scotty, please. My good friends, Lizzie and Alex, call me Scotty.
You got it.
Yeah, man. Hey, things are good. Life is good.
Scott, I'm
here. We were just talking about the weather. The weather. Hi, Lizzie. The weather here. You're in Jersey, Alex. I'm here in Brooklyn, and the weather is outstanding today. We're now in the full break of spring.
It feels really good. You got
it. You know.
So, we got to meet you at the junket, and First off, how have you felt? Because Victor has just become this small character that wasn't even supposed to be in season two all the way to today, where you're one of the focal guys. How does it feel? And, you know, what did you think when you heard the news?
Well, I'll start with how does it feel? It feels great. And I feel incredibly blessed. And I'm not one who's, you know, say superstitious or necessarily believes in luck, but if there's one time in my life that I would describe it like that, it feels lucky, because the part that they created, as you guys know, is, you know, he was this I knew he had this mystery character, this enigma, that in the first season, you know, was only really in a handful of scenes over the stretch of the season, you know, but brought so much in terms of the what might be happening in this place, and you know, a little bit of the history of the place, and then we find out that he's lived there the longest, of course, you know. So I was really excited in the beginning to get the part, of course, because I got to play an enigma, which to me as an actor, you know, any actor, it's sort of like how do you play an enigma, and that still is an ongoing and incredible journey. And I have the gift of John Griffin's creation and the writing. I mean, there's been, you know, several writers now that have worked on From, John's driving it, Jeff, these guys just keep giving me so much to do. So to see it go from that, and it's funny too, you know, I'll tell you guys, at the beginning of this all, I remember before I started, I can't even remember if I had been cast yet, but when there had been some interest in me playing the part, there was this whisper that he wouldn't survive the season necessarily. So I remember going for a stretch before I started where I thought, you know, I'm going to, you know, if I get this thing, I'm going to pop into Halifax and shoot this really cool little part. I don't really know what it is, but you know, great. You know, don't really know a lot about the show because they didn't tell us a lot about the show itself and what was happening. And then as we were moving through the season, of course, right? And I came in later than everybody else. I came in during another block, and even like weeks and weeks later after they had already started. It was a mysterious time for me to be there because I was connecting with some of the other cast members. Liz Saunders, of course, and I, you know, became pals. We all did. But I never had scenes with groups of people. I never had scenes with some of the other residents of the town. I was always either with Ethan or, so it was a really mysterious time for me because I was always coming in and going, how's the show going? What's going on? What are the other, you know, what's everybody else doing? And anyway, so really interesting journey that first season. But then of course we landed on episode 10 and I crack open the script and I see that I'm in the caves, you know, where we've left off and where we're kicking off this season, and I'm coming out and getting Tabitha. I thought, oh, I made it. It looks like I made, you know,
for the moment.
I had a feeling. Yeah, for the moment. And then I thought, and then I came home and I thought, well, I suppose they could always kick off, you know, the next season with, you know, us finding a boulder on top of Victor and just this little lunchbox sticking out from underneath it or something, you know, no. But I got the news. I think it was just around the holidays, you know, about several weeks after we'd finished that, that I was going to get bumped up to a regular. And I'm still, you know, I'm still celebrating that. I feel so incredibly lucky to have that opportunity to do that. And I do get it as far as, you know, he just is who he is. They've created something that, you know, he just is the key to the past of that place, or it appears to be. And there is this idea that he knows more or sees more or, you know, experienced more, certainly from living there. So, so yeah, as the mystery unfolds, you know, it's almost like you kind of need somebody, you need Victor there to kind of represent that part of it all in the mystery, you know. It feels great. It feels great. And now I'm sitting here with you beautiful people. Look at this.
Who knew? Lizzie, I know you have a couple of questions.
Oh,
so.
My God, you're so gracious.
Oh,
so
you guys are amazing.
I have to say, this, one of my prized possessions. I love this.
I have one too. It's in the back.
And part of it is, I was old enough to carry one of these to school. So that's part of it. Yeah.
Me too. Don't be fooled by my super young looks. I'm not really 30.
Well, young man, I heard
Neither
there's a birthday
I.
that you had.
There was a, I did, there, yeah.
Yeah.
I just celebrated 52.
Yeah, I'm this year too, 52. So
Woo!
We're the same.
Hey,
you look a lot birthday. Better than me, I got to tell you that. But that's a whole different conversation.
Well,
Liz, I know you.
God,
you're
I'm the
good.
Old lady here then. I'm 57. But
that's a grand
like,
57,
anyway.
Lizzie.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. So
you're doing okay.
I am gonna do mini spoiler here, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the show's coming out Sunday, and it's not that bad. I want to go to the first episode, which is all Alex and I allowed ourselves to watch. Because I just want to be in real time. So
you guys, let me tell you how disciplined you are. That is incredible that you guys are doing that, because A, I know you guys are fans of the show. Bless you.
Yeah. Thank you.
No. My wife for the last several weeks has been like, when are you getting screeners? You know, like there's no,
oh,
she's
my
like,
God.
She's like, we gotta get through this. You know, the first time her and I sat down and watched this, and I hadn't seen a frame of it. I didn't do any ADR last year. I hadn't seen anything. I think we watched four or five episodes in a row the same day. My wife was like, another one.
Yeah.
So I,
That's
I,
how
listen,
I, am.
I, you guys have incredible discipline. That must be hard. You're holding on to four other juicy episodes there.
I'm trying to forget it about is. It. So I don't think it's there. Honestly, that's the only way I could do it.
We'll be right back.
Ever wondered what it takes to make it in the movie business? Peel back the curtain with 4/6 Success Filmmaking. 4/6 Success Filmmaking is where filmmakers share their stories and the secrets.
It's beyond competitive out there.
There have been movies that it's taken me 10 years to get made.
Don't wait to create. Like, you've got to just keep making stuff.
Tune in to 4/6 Success Filmmaking for your dose of cinematic realness, direct from the voices that have lived it.
Yeah, I think it's because I'm 57 and I'm not leaving here until I'm 96. So I know
yes.
I have time.
You got some time.
So, yeah, I've got plenty of time. So my question is in my utmost compliment, but in the caverns, when you see the monster that's dressed in work clothes, you just, or not you, Victor shuts down. Like, he's leading the way, insistent that they get there, and he sees this one monster and just crumbles. My heart was broken for him. All I can think of is that it was his father or something like that. I was maybe the monsters move around when they sleep and you hadn't seen him the other time that you'd been through there.
Right.
But I just have to tell you, Scotty, that was amazing. Like,
well, thanks so much, Liz.
A performance can evoke emotion from the viewer. Like, I'm just like, woo, I'm not worthy, you know.
Oh,
but it was amazing.
Stop
and
it. I like it.
It's like, and then when you were like this,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, I work on set and I work with kids, and sometimes, you know, you just cannot come right out of that emotional place that you're in. And I go back to one of the most incredible experiences I had was second season Stranger Things, when Noah Schnapp was filming all those incredibly emotional scenes. He would be on set. They'd send him to school for 20 minutes and he's supposed to be learning French. And he would just be like, and we would just watch him. No, you know, and then send him back to work. But
and he would just get there.
You
he
don't
just get
have
there
to
every
do
time.
That.
Yeah. Well, that I think kid. It's you know, thank you so much, first of all. Yeah, for that. That moment was, again, another great key for Victor, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll even say this much for you guys, because this isn't spoiling anything, is I wasn't given a lot of context about that particular moment either. It was just that, as, and it is written that way, like that Victor literally crumbles and, you know, the whole thing. And I mean, I think now having, you know, I don't want to say I'm getting too comfortable with it, but like, we're all, I think Liz was talking about this recently too. You know, Liz Saunders was saying, like, we're in our bodies, you know, on set now. We're kind of, we've got these people, like the groundwork has happened. So now I know for myself, getting thrown an opportunity like that to go in and explore the core of this guy and what that is, was a, you know, an amazing challenge. And one that I certainly, you know, just in my own work, I did a lot of prep for. And then, you know, just had to do that thing where I let it go and I go in and I have the beauty of working with, you know, first of all, one of my favorite scene partners and one of my best friends, Catalina. She was in the scene with me, you know, and there's a beautiful relationship there developing, right, between those two. And Jack Bender was right there, you know. And
oh, really?
We're in the set of these caves and, you know, it's dank and it's dark and we're trying to figure all this stuff out. And that's certainly all the design of that place. All those elements really feed you as well. And then the moment is there. And I just remember that being a good day, shooting all that stuff. With everything over the season was great. But that stuff in the caves, as challenging as that can be sometimes, you know, just because of how small it is. And, you know, the camera guys are like scraping their heads on the top of the tunnel and, you know, this sort of thing is going on.
Was that all constructed?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, wow. Yeah. There was like, I don't even know how long it was. I want to say it was over 100 feet. There was just tunnels we went into the studio and these guys had completely constructed that labyrinth, you know. And
Alex,
beautiful
I wish
job.
You could see a set sometimes, because what these people create are works of art. And they bring
they really
them together.
Are.
When you're getting
not
into Victor.
Here, though. Not here.
When you're getting into Victor, what's your process? Because I know you're a big actor studio guy. You've been in that. It was one of my favorite shows. I'm not going to ask you the end of the show questions. I promise. But you know, are you like, what's your process in terms of that? In terms of trying to get into Victor.
Yeah, it's what it is for me is it's just sort of a series of, I would say, techniques or exercises, things that I did that I had to find, and I'm still finding that, you know, in working, especially in television, which moves pretty quickly. I mean, Lizzie knows that as well. You just find these little keys. You know, I'm always trying to go towards the core of this guy, and I'm always trying to be as truthful as possible, because you know, Victor does, you know, as this enigma, and the sort of work that I am doing that I found organically, you know, I really wanted to make him his own creature of this place, you know, and still a person at the same time. I mean, still a human. I mean, it is a study of human life in these circumstances. So I, it's just like a series of things that I can do I mean, you know, I don't want to give away all my secrets, but even right down to, you know, just certain things that can get me emotionally connected. Like, you know, in that particular scene, there was a lot of stuff about mother in there for me, you know, because that's developing with Catalina, you know, being left alone. There was some really accessible things there emotionally that I thought, here's a moment where we're going to see some, you know, it's written in the script and they want to see, you know, see some of this rawness in him, because he was abandoned, you know, abandoned as a result of a massacre, and then lived alone in that place for a long time. This is stuff that I'm still experimenting with and playing it, you know. So, and it just depends. And on any given day too, it depends on the scenes. Sometimes, you know, it depends on who I'm playing with. If I'm with Simon, the one thing I really like doing with Simon, because him and I already have a natural rapport. One thing that we do that I think is kind of fun is we stay connected by doing things like we play chess in between setups and stuff, you know, or just stuff like that, that I feel like keeps us talking and connected. And then sometimes Simon and I are like, he's so great. God, I love him so much. We improvise our way into the scene a little bit. Like we'll start talking in our character, you know, like leading into the work. Yeah, I think this, you know, it just depends on the day, what I've got, you know, who I'm with.
You work with Simon and Liz before, correct?
Liz Saunders?
Yeah.
Liz, actually, I had never met Liz prior to, which is so funny because she's a theater actor as well, and as was I in Toronto, and the community is, I mean, it's sizable, but it's not huge, and everybody kind of knows everybody else. So she was somebody that I was aware of, but I actually knew her husband from a cartoon that I voiced a character on that he and I were on for 3 seasons called Camp Lake Bottom, and he was amazing. I mean, you guys, have you guys met Cliff yet? Have you guys done have you met him?
We haven't yet.
Okay.
I love his character.
Such a great guy. Yeah. And he's got a legacy of work behind him too that he could talk about. He's an amazing, interesting guy.
Yeah. I mean, just the way that his character and Donna interact with each other, and then knowing, you know, there's a loving relationship behind that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really have loved exploring about the character of Victor is trying to figure out who exactly he is, because he shows up and you're like, God, that's the strange guy I used to deliver a newspaper to when I was a kid. And I would just like drop the newspaper and run as fast as I could, you know? But the thing about it, and it's like when Julie encounters him, I was like, that's a lot like when I was dropping the newspaper. But the magic of storytelling shows us that he hasn't mentally aged past like this 12-year-old boy. So
yeah, maybe so.
You're playing a 12-year-old boy in a 50-year-old guy's body.
Yeah. Yeah, or that it maybe, you know, it's something that we keep playing with and I keep experimenting with, and they, you know, and then each episode, and you guys will see, like, you haven't even gotten into two yet, episode two of this season, that more, and, you know, the relationships and even his connections with people, because, you know, they sort of set it up that I was this outsider and you know, and that I'm just really a guy that just wants his peaches and draw in his bedroom, and I don't have a lot to do with everybody else. But they're, you know, that's opening up a little bit. You know, there's going to be some other connections this season. I don't want to give too much away and spoil it for you guys. Certainly, you're showing such great discipline. Bless you. He's such a beautiful character. And it's funny, I was just talking to John the other day, and we're always, and he's so great because he loves getting into all that stuff, you know, cracking it open and talking about it and talking about it. We could just, you know, we talk about it endlessly. And I think, you know, he's created, again, like something that's just so, it's so painful, isn't it? Again, like every time I think, I just go back to that and think about that, that shot of him standing there in front of the massacres in the road. And the idea that, and John told me that very early on, before I even saw a script, he said, this guy, you know, was left alone in this place. as a child for many, many, many years. Oh my God, so what does that mean? You know, and I have to go in and sort of,
I know,
fill in a certain amount of blanks for myself, you know, just detail certain things for myself. We all do, you know, in the show, because, yeah, you know, we're not given everything all at once. We don't have certain parameters to these people, which is also really exciting, because it just means, to me, it just, yeah, feels like that canvas is so broad. Like, who knows what's going to be coming with Victor, you know?
Yeah.
And this season definitely elevates his character in terms of, I think, that part of him, like that depth of him as a human. You're going to see more of that, I think.
Well, since we're in this season, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
there's a delay.
Alex.
There's a delay. Since we're into season two,
yeah,
And there are a whole bunch of new characters, can you say, because Victor's world is kind of like a handful of characters. He, yeah, really didn't have that much to do with Colin, I mean, with the town, and he only had a couple of people. Does Victor in this season get out more in terms of interaction with the other characters in general?
Yeah, I would think so. I think everybody does in a way, because,
okay,
of the nature of what's, you know, like where we're starting. You guys saw episode one, this utter chaos. That's still going on. And it's one of the beautiful aspects of the show this season is this idea that, my God, in the world that we're living in, that the idea of all of us dealing with our fears and our inner peace in order to come together and collaborate to really get out of here, you know, or whatever it is, or to remedy the situation, to bring us together, like forcing us to kind of deal with ourselves so we can deal with each other in a way, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So even someone like Victor, it's already happening, right? Like the boy in white sort of guiding him into this place of, like, you know, get the mother out of this
right,
labyrinth, or guide her here, or whatever. So yeah, that is happening, Alex. It's exciting, you know, and I definitely, I'll say this. I definitely, you know, I have some work with people that I didn't last season, for sure.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It was, you want him to be more than, you want him to be more than the guy that goes down the stairs and gets the peaches.
Yeah, although I do really still love that aspect of him too. Like I said, it was so funny to shoot the first season like that, and then leave and realize, yeah, like I never, you know, like Avery and I, for instance, Sarah, wonderful, you know, actress, wonderful person. We never were even in the same, I don't even think we saw each other on set. There were just so many people that I never even connected with, just because of how it, yeah, was all orchestrated in terms of the shooting and the storytelling. And even this particular season, we have new people, as you guys know. And I met some, but I still think there's maybe one person that I didn't even meet at all.
Wow.
And not for lack of trying. Again, it was just,
yeah,
it was just the scheduling and the storytelling and the way it all works out. And then you get to the end of the season and you go, oh my God, there's still people on the show that I haven't seen. I'm really excited about, as you guys are too, about seeing how it all comes together. I'm so excited to see some of the other work. I have seen some of it, and I'll tell you, the new cast, first of all, the cast from last season, everybody, it's so amazing to watch because everybody is so on fire this season already. You probably saw it in episode one. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I think that the new, yeah, cast members are so good. Same thing. Like everybody that came in, the casting of these new people, the work that they're doing to be thrown into this world too, that, and they came in, you know, in the mid, amidst this chaos, they're starting in episode one when all this chaotic stuff is going on, you know, stepping off this bus. Beautiful work by everybody. So everyone is really super, super excited about the show. And I last night at the party, I can tell you guys this, I wasn't there, but someone left me a message and said that Michael Wright, from Epics, he got up and had mentioned to the audience that the show is number 5 on Amazon Prime right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, in the wake of, I know, right? It's like, and this is
it.
What we want, right? But it's because of people, yeah, you guys, and what you're doing here, all this excitement and all the beautiful work that you guys do. Let me just say this now that we're, you know, we're about halfway through, but I want to say bless you. I love you guys, what you're doing. It helps. It does everything for the show. I know everybody in the show appreciates it. and thinks it's wonderful. And that's what gets this whole thing going, because we really believe in this show. We know it's a good show. We know it's, you know, once people see it, like, it gets, yeah, it gets its hooks in you and takes you on a ride.
It's not a good show. It's a great show.
It's a great show. You're right.
And
it's a great show.
People know that
it's beyond gonna, that.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's lost in terms of infection.
I had to talk about it.
Yeah. And so let me ask you guys. I'm curious. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Lizzie.
I was just going to say, I just saw something phenomenal when I was watching it the first time through. And I knew I had to talk about it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then I saw her at a convention. And then I'm like, listen, I'll podcast on the weather with you, Lizzie, whatever you want to do. And then she called me up about the show. I had never seen the show. The show had already been out. So talk about discipline. Every Friday night, my wife and I would watch the one episode. I'd podcast on it. And then right after that, we go watch the next episode. So I was doing it week to week while she already had saw it. Because I can't, like you can't kind of talk about something in a bubble. You need to, you can't go, that's the thing, Seth.
That's it. And bless you guys for it. I think that I wanted to know what the story was behind the two of you doing this and meeting and getting it off the ground. And so, sorry, did it happen? It happened during the release of the first season? That's when you guys started this? Or did it happen when the show ended? Was it during, the run?
It was after the first season ended. I was sitting on it for a while. And prior to watching the show, Alex and I had finally met in person. I was at a convention selling my books, and he came to the convention and he just said, you know, if you ever want to podcast about something, think about me. And I'm like, it's never going to happen. I'm done. But I watched the show.
Yeah.
And then I was just sitting on it. And one day it just occurred to me. I was like, wait a minute. This guy said he wanted a podcast. So I was like, go watch it and let me know what you think. And I think even if it had been toilet paper coming off the roll, he would have still been like, we have to podcast about it. I just want to podcast with you. But it is such an amazing piece of work that, you know, I've got this mind, like I'm an educated chemist and biologist, and it's like my whole fun thing when I was teaching in school was, you know, taking what we know about life and then extrapolating that out into the universe. And the kids and I would just sit there and be like, all right, what would it take, you know? And, you know, I'm in love with bacteria and, you know, what kind of bacteria it would have to take in order to start life here on Earth. And blah, blah, blah. So I'm used to picking apart all the little pieces and the clues and like trying to put together the big picture. And that's what this show is all about.
Yes.
And it's telling this phenomenal story, and it's got all these facets. It's like a brilliant diamond in the sunlight, and you turn it and you are mesmerized at every turn. And that's what I love about it and why I have to talk about it.
Did you hear that? That's amazing. That I felt like, what is it? A beautiful diamond in the sunlight that you keep turning?
Yeah.
My God, is that, I almost felt like you were reading that off something. That was so good.
This is what I have to deal with all the time, Scott. Well,
that was so good.
I mean, now I'll write 1,000 words after we get off of this.
Oh my God, you gotta write that down. Can I use that? I'll quote you. That was so good. A beautiful diamond in the sunlight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And claim ownership.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Listen,
well, you know
I agree
what?
With you completely.
Scotty, go tell your wife that.
I'm going to tell my wife that as soon as I'm done. She'll love it too. I think I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that I am, you know, I mean, who knows what's going on in John Griffin's mind? You know, the whole thing behind all of, I mean, it's, It's so tasty. It's so great. It's a brilliant, you know, it's a brilliant diamond in the sunlight for us as actors, certainly, yeah. You know. You know, season three, we hope we get a word on season three.
Yeah, because they released something and then they pulled it back. And
yeah,
that's so frustrating for everyone. But I can't imagine what it is for you.
Well, I think it, sure. I mean, I think that, yeah, I think, you know, we wanted, of course, all of us wanted the show to start in earlier, you know, in February. Yeah. I think that's when it started the first season. Yeah. You know, and then you hear little things here and there of whatever and the push and the this and the that. I mean, I think, look, it's coming. It's Sunday, this Sunday. Yeah. Are you guys going to be there? We're going to do a live tweet. Yeah. Are you going to be there?
I'm going to try.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, try to. What's really exciting is most of the
time is it? It's 9 o'clock?
9, yeah.
Okay, I'll be there.
And everybody's in LA except for me. So they're going to, I think they're all going to, a lot of them are going to try and get together for the live tweeting as well. So a bunch of them will be together doing it, which is going to be super fun as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I never tweet, but I will be there for the tweet.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm podcasting at 10 on Yellow Jackets, but I will definitely get in there for the first half. We do the live show. So you've done a lot of voice acting. I mean, that's most of your career. How do you kind of equate like being in front of the camera versus doing the voice acting work? Because I've heard you, I didn't realize it. I heard you for the first 3 years of my daughter's life, evidently. on Paw Patrol, did you work with Simon on Paw Patrol at the same time or
no, not at the same time, no. Okay. And normally with voice acting, I mean it happens that they'll do ensemble acting, you know, where they'll put us all together in the room and we'll play off each other. But generally I would say I was usually, especially for that show, I was just by myself.
Okay.
As Jake, Everest's owner.
I know, oh, it's so weird.
The snowboarder. It was great. There's a gift that keeps on giving. You know, that show just keeps going and going and going. It's been super popular for years. So your question was, how I sort of separate the two or if I do. I mean, I have in the past, and I'll tell you why. I think just on the basis of like, you know, there are voice actors that I know who have never made the transition to stage or film, or, you know, like they're just, that's their thing, and vice versa. There's lots of great actors in front of, you know, film, TV, stage, who don't make the transition to voice necessarily. And that certainly doesn't diminish them as actors. They're all actors. But I think that what it says to me is that there's just certain, it is different for me. I guess I just have to speak of my own experience. It's like, it's a different set of tools and, you know, you're not being seen. And I think that's one of the big things that is really liberating in a way too, you know, because if you could see me doing some of my voices behind the microphone, we wouldn't be here meeting today. No. But what it does do is that, and also just in that arena, depending on the kind of cartoon that I'm doing, man, that's one where you feel like you get the opportunity to really kick the lids off in that arena and let everything kind of come out, and they'll just edit it all together. In some shows, some other shows are, you know, a little stricter in terms of, you know, you come in and you hit the dialogue by the numbers and you record it, where, you know, there have been some shows where they let us improvise and try things. And listen, the 12-year-old in me, which I could tie to Victor, you know, and back here again to voice. That little guy gets to run out and come out and play every time I get behind the microphone, which is super fun. And then every now and then I get this really great thing to do. I just did it the other day where my daughter, who's 13 now, will come running out and go, "Dad, can you do Jake in my phone for my friend?" You know? So there's this thing where like, I'm kind of a cool dad because I do that stuff, you know, because with kids, it's a little bit of a tricky thing. Like you know, and a lot of kids can be really nonplussed about actor parents, you know, when they see you on TV that much or hear you. I mean, the joke that my wife always says is she's like, "Honey, even when you go to Halifax and shoot from, you're still in the house. I hear you on TV, on Netflix. Aww. I hear you on, on some cartoon. You're never, I'm always with you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I feel really blessed to have that career because it wasn't anything that I was, I wouldn't say I wasn't pursuing. I mean, I was always auditioning for things, but it wasn't anything that I was putting a certain energy into in the way that I thought, oh, I have to be a voice actor. At the beginning of my career, what happened was, is I was doing a lot of stage and then I got into TV and then I started doing some big studio pictures and smaller parts. And that was where that was going. And then I did this, I was doing a television series in Canada. And then I stopped for various reasons and didn't do any of that stuff anymore. And then all of a sudden, what was happening was voice was starting to ramp up at that time. And then before I knew it, I was on a few different cartoons. And yeah, that kind of became the profession. I just sort of lost track of time. And I'm a musician as well. So I was actually off with a band and I was recording and making a couple records. And then voice was sort of, the beautiful thing about voice is you're not on set for 12 hours a day. So, you know, you're working in these little pockets of time that allowed me all this other time to get up to other creative nonsense, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been a great, it's a blessing. Wow. I love it. And there's a couple characters like Jake that I played that have still, that have gone on for years. There's another show that I do called Total Drama Island, which is a very popular cartoon. And one character in particular now, I think I'm going on 20 years of playing this guy.
That's awesome.
You know, and not necessarily consistently, you know, like not all the time or every year. But they keep, right? They keep bringing him in or bringing him in for an episode or a special or there's a new series and then he's, and I'm so blessed to that company is, they're such brilliant, fun people and we have so much fun doing it. And that's the gift that's been, you know, that keeps on giving as well. So I was doing that while I was shooting From. Yeah, I have a microphone set up in my closet and on some days I'd go in there and do Jake when I wasn't doing Victor. Yeah.
You just talked about music and it seems like music is a really important thing in the show. I mean,
huge.
Really?
Yeah.
What is your take on the music choices and is there something as a viewer that we should be paying attention to? Because they do a lot of great covers and they do a lot of just old classics. And I know you're a music guy, so I had to ask the question, you know, music and From, what's your opinion on the way it kind of intertwines and intertwines?
It's so key, isn't it? You know, and what I noticed what they do with that show, and it was actually Ian Bailey that pointed it out, plays Jim Matthews on the show.
We were
just going over, what's that?
I said, oh, really? He does?
Oh, really? I had to do a little bit of a plug just to clarify for anyone.
I didn't
anyone
even know.
Wait, I think he was in a small series on HBO. I'm not really sure. He had a bit part.
Oh, my God. I know. Yes. I was, what a beautiful guy. And he and I were in the first season. We had seen a few episodes and we were talking and he said, he brought this up. He said, there's a beautiful, the music, first of all, the original music is outstanding and the use of it. And of course, if you'll notice, like there's signature sort of things that they'll do for various characters. I noticed it right away with Victor and Ethan, is that there was almost like a little bit of a signature music for those characters. And their quest, let's say, their quest sound.
Yeah.
And what I love what they do in that show is how they use it and also how they don't use it. I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but there are these great scenes that go on. Sometimes they're ramped up, they're dramatic, they're whatever and they're not, you know, shoving music, fully from top to bottom down your throat to tell you how to feel. If there's one of my biggest criticisms of the use of music in film and TV, I'm sure you guys would agree, is when the music is there, you'll feel it when it's happening sometimes because it kind of rocks us a little bit and we go, oh, don't, it's too much. Like, don't tell me how to feel. And yet there's these beautiful moments in this show, particularly, I just think where they've never done that. They've just done this beautiful job of orchestrating it in a way that it really serves a great purpose in coloring those scenes in a way that sometimes we don't even notice it so much. And then really packing a punch when it is there and it is needed, and it's amazing. And I think they do a really beautiful job, but they do in all the departments, like the editing, and I even find the look of it. And, you know, and we've got this great shooter this past season, Grizz, who just did some amazing work. You guys saw it already, you know, in episode one, the look of the show, everything about it. I think the whole, I love seeing all of that come together. Lizzie, I know you, well, both of you sure can appreciate all of that, you know. We don't, I don't usually see too much back on set when I'm working. I mean, this year I did it a little bit more just for a couple of things. I'd go and take a look at something right after we shot it. I don't generally want to do that too much. But to see it, it just in its raw place and its raw footage, you know, just because, you know, I get to work with all these brilliant people and the writing, everything is just so good. That's exciting enough for me sometimes to come home with, right? And just to come home and go, oh, it's a great day. But then, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, Alex, to see it like with the music. Well, you know what? Here's what's so great, right? We sat down, my wife and I threw in the first screener and we watched the first episode. And, you know, here I am like completely forgetting they did the bit of the tease at the beginning. And then all of a sudden it goes into that great theme song by the Pixies, you know? And it's like, and I was like, oh, we have this great theme song, which you and I, listen, we're all of a certain age. We grew up, I grew up 70s and 80s. Where, to me, even in the 60s, they had the best, like to me, the reason I'd even watch a show sometimes was because it had a great theme song, right? Chips, Hill Street Blues, you know, you name it, right? That would just get dialed right into the right into the tone and the show. And I thought, you know, it's so funny when I don't think I'd, when the first season came out, I don't think I knew it was going to be the Pixies until I saw it. And I think even when we saw the screeners for the first time, I don't think the theme song was in there yet. I want to say that they had a place card or something. You know what I mean? When we saw the first screeners. So I didn't really see all that come together until we saw the final, you know, it was like the first night, the premiere episode, or I think what they did when they premiered it on Twitter. And then I thought, oh man, and they got the Pixies to do it. Come on. It's great.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Dude, the Pixies are, oh my God. I saw, like, I'm from Boston. I saw the Pixies at the Paradise. And,
oh, come on.
You know, 10 feet away by choice but from Santiago. And the mosh pit breaks out right next to me. And I'm like, I am not getting in that thing. And then Santiago breaks his guitar string and he's just going and going.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm
it.
Like, oh, the Pixies.
So and live music.
Nothing like, yeah, there's lick. But then the weird thing was Doolittle was so critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
By everyone up here.
Yeah.
And no one down here was listening to it.
Hmm.
I'm like, Debaser?
Yeah.
I would just play that as loud as I could and just like figuratively bang my head against the wall.
I know, they're such a great
so
band.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, and everything, you know, that contribution. There's a story there too, like somebody knew somebody in the band and that they, you know, they contributed this song to the show, which is, you know, it's just so great and a perfect band for the, to, you know, to do the theme song. The other thing too, is that I'm always falling over at the soundtrack of the show, Alex, you mentioned as well, like the choices of songs that they use. And this season, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but even in that, in the first episode, do you remember the song that starts episode one? Do you remember what it is when Boyd's ringing the bell? Don't say.
Oh, yeah. I can hear it. I can't think of the song.
Yeah. Anyway.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
It's that thing where you go, how did they get this music for this show? And season 10, or sorry, episode 10 of last season, I fell over as the bus was pulling up and they played Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, Neil Young's version.
Yep.
Neil Young's song. I am just enamored with what they're doing with the music in this show. I think it's extraordinary.
Do you listen to something? Because I know sometimes actors listen
They've
to certain
They've got the
music.
Best music ear for that.
Yeah.
Like, before you go on set, do you, like, get yourself pumped up with certain music or anything like that, since it's so important?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have a pretty broad... I mean, a lot of actors do, right? You'll make up a set list. But again, like depending on the day and how I want to get in, and it usually starts pretty early, even as I'm going into to work and driving in, you know. On the days that I'm not driving in with Catalina, you know, there were some, I just want to say this, there were some great, you know, her and I had some days together and she'd come pick me up at like 5 a.m. and the two of us would drive to Beaver Bank in the dark and like, yeah. You know, we're listening to music and talking about our day and, you know, bless her. She's a diamond in the sun like that one. She's a really beautiful soul. But yeah, music's a big one for me. It has been. I grew up, my mother was a, classical piano teacher. And so I grew up with her teaching out of the house. Oh. Music was around me all the time. And she introduced me to rock and roll, the whole thing. But so for Victor, oh yeah. I mean, there's everything from like, you know, I mean, I go from, you know, Stravinsky to Mahler to the, say, you know, like the Pixies to Talking Heads all the way to Dolly Parton. I have a crazy set list yeah. for Victor that varies every season, depending on what just speaks to me and or what I feel like I might need before. And it does, it helps, you know, I mean, it does for me, because Victor has his own music, you know, the way he speaks, the way he moves, the way, you know, I wouldn't say that there's necessarily any one particular song or anything that can happen, but I use it. I have to. I use it a lot in my prep too, you know.
You remind me so much of my good friend growing up, this kid, Jason Myers. He was a yeah. musician. He knew how to play yeah. 9 instruments. He was that guy. And you remind me so much of him, because it was all about, like, I went over his house and his parents were, they're crazy, but they were the best. I learned about this band from England called the Beatles. And
I never heard of them.
I mean, I think they did pretty well, but it was just like, I learned more about music from him. They had a studio in the house with the different colored rug on the walls.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
And you just remind me of him, because we're of the same age, and it's just yeah. like, you know, I'm so happy that there's people like you that keep music alive, because music is yeah. so important. And when yeah. doing the research on this, I knew we had to ask about it, because I know how important yeah. it is to you and the show. And it's just awesome.
It's great. You know, it's everything, you know. And I'm remembering having a conversation with John when we were first, this character was first coming together. We had a meeting and I told him about some songs I was listening to, and he immediately said, "What songs are you listening to?" And he wrote them down. So he'll listen to them as well, because he wants to know what I'm being fed with as well. Not that the songs don't necessarily land in the show, but it even helps him understand, like, we're, you know, that collaboration of creativity that's happening, you know, between us all. So I know yeah. something, you know, everybody takes super seriously
that's
on
awesome.
The show. Yeah. yeah.
Totally evident. Totally evident.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This has been the most amazing conversation.
Oh, I've
I have
loved
just
it. Thank you guys
enjoyed
so
this.
Can we do this every day?
I wish we could.
Yes.
I know.
I'm just, we need to do a month.
Well,
did
you
I
know
go
what?
Dead again?
No, just a little bit.
No, you're fine.
But, you know, my mom grew up in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. So yeah. The fact that you're in Brooklyn and you're a Brooklyn boy, so to speak, it's just hysterical. Yeah, you're getting it. I know.
I'm getting
it. You never really are until you've been on the Belt Parkway for 2 hours going 2 miles. And I know Lizzie doesn't know what that means, because she's not from here, but it's the worst.
It's the worst.
Parkway, you pick up your lunch and you pray to God you can get there within an hour, and you're just going 2 miles. But
it's so true.
But no, I just think, you know, I've said this about a lot of the people that we've interviewed. You are all like actors, meaning, you know, not the highest stars. You know, you're not the Ians. I know.
But
you guys work. And I think that I've learned more about the business through people like you, Bob Mann, you know, a whole host, everybody that read, all of you guys are just, you really do show how hard it is and how easy it is to make this show. because you make it look friggin' easy.
That's
what this is all about. Because I'm not a scary guy. I don't like scary. You know, the network is all about The Walking Dead. Like, we're Walking Dead focused podcast. I mean, network.
This fits
in perfectly. So when she said the podcast on this, I'm watching the first episode. I'm like, oh geez. And then all these shows are all about one thing: the family.
Yeah.
And it's the monsters are secondary.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And I think that's what's so amazing. And I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, and I say this to all the cast, just keep doing it because it's great.
It's amazing. Thanks, man. Amazing. That means a lot. It's great.
He just told us what he's doing, though. But
no, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of the whole thing.
I write. Yeah, no, I mean, I know, like, I don't know. I love horror. I don't love horror. I love writing horror. I don't like slasher films. But if it's a smart horror where I've got to think about it and it's not a bunch of jump scares, I am on board with that.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is. You know, like,
yes,
I can see myself being in those little dugout holes that they were in the beginning and being terrified and listening to them, you know, walking above, even walking above on the wood and just, you know, praying that you're not the one that's going to get pulled out that night.
That's right.
You know, Victor survived there for 30, 40 years and grew up there. Yeah. And like consecutive night after night after night, 365 days times 30 or 40 years, and he's still there.
It's true. Liz is doing my work right now. This is what I do all day long. I know, man. It's amazing, right?
When you think about it. And all these other people come in and they go out, and you have the best suite in Colony House, which makes me think that's where you had been all along. And, you know, Donna came and just kind of pulled. I mean, I'm waiting to find out how that happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, and she's only been there like a year.
A couple of years, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they went from the base, they went from the holes to the houses. Yeah. So, I mean, they've gone a long way, and I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, Donna to get it across to the bus driver who's no nonsense like Donna. And Donna's like, look. And I'm just like, if you knew Donna, you'd be believing her right now. I'm like, lady, just listen to her.
I know. I was kind of screaming at the TV as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, just listen. She's the most nonsense person there.
Yeah. Yeah,
but anyway,
it's beautifully done. I know. I'm so excited for this kickoff on Sunday night. I think, you know, I think it for those that have been there for the ride, for people that are just joining the ride, it will. This season will not disappoint you guys. I promise you.
Like I know it won't because it was so, it was such a great ride on the first season, and this one is going to be awesome. So that said. Any last questions, Miss Lizzie?
When can we do this again?
I know, right?
I just
so much fun. Honestly, I could talk about it for hours.
I know. Like, we have been so privileged to be granted the time with all of you. And you know, we walk away floating because it's not idolation or anything like that. It is crawling deeper into a story that we want to know more about. And, you know, how you as actors arrive at those characters and, you know, do the things that strike us as significant strike you the same way. And you know,
please don't take this the wrong way. Alex and I want to visit set. We will get there on our own merit. We're not asking for help.
I wasn't kidding about that whole Christmas thing, Scott. I'm sorry.
We got to work it out. We got to work it out somehow.
I was picturing during this podcast, I was picturing Alex and I as monsters. And, you know, I kind of tower over Alex a little bit. And I just saw me in my 60s clothes with my cat eye glasses, with the little pearl strap, you know, that goes around the neck, and my tweed coat and my handbag over my arm like the queen, and just walking.
You got to work on that, Lizzie.
You could do that for her. I don't know what I do because, you know, I told my friends, you know, after the junket, you know, that time I talked to Harold and they, I'm like, I'm only going to do it a couple times.
Yeah,
the time I talked to Scott and the time I talked to Ian, I'm like, I did it for like a couple of hours and I'm like, I'm done. But then I said to Lizzie, I called her up. I'm like, no, these guys actually, you know, so it's all good stuff. But thank you so much for taking the time. I know you have a busy schedule.
No. That's good. Let me just say that it's also reciprocated. That it is the reason I was nodding when you were saying that thing about the privilege is it's a privilege for me to be here, to be a part of something that you guys are doing, that I can contribute in some way to, you know, satisfy some of these things that you want to know, but at the same time, be part of this collaboration that we're all doing that we're calling Fromily, right? Which is is something that's bigger than the show, I think, itself. It's not just about a TV show. I think it's about so much more.
One of the things that we did, I don't know if you, I think you might know this, we did a poster contest. We did a poster contest.
That's right. It's great.
It was great. We're going to probably, I think we might do it again. And I have to tell you, people came, they brought it. And, you know, I know you don't do those drawings yourself, I'm assuming, but it's so neat how they've incorporated so many mediums in that. And everything is thought out. There's not a prop. There's not a dress that isn't there for a reason. And can't wait
prop
to find out what it's all
are
about.
The gods. Prop and set deck are the gods.
So
it's amazing.
The gods.
There's someone that works in props that dealing with me specifically throughout the show. Her name's Jan, and she is a dream because again, it's a collaborative thing. So what she does is she'll come and she'll like bring me the lunchbox and go. So sometimes you not even see what's inside. She'll go, I put this and this in here. And do you want something like this in your pocket? I was thinking maybe, do you like this? Cause I also have this, you know, whatever it is. You know.
Oh, that's amazing.
The details are astounding. And Colin, who does the drawings for Victor too. I think I just met him last year and I got to go into his little sanctum and studio and see what he's chipping away at. Mostly he's got this big thing of crayons like this. It's like a hubcap, you know, it's like this. And he's sitting there drawing these Victor, fascinating. All departments, everything from everyone is outstanding on this, in this whole thing. As are you guys, thank you so much for all of this. All the best with the podcast. And I will promote this, of course, and anything else that you guys want to throw my way. Let's have a great season. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
One last thing. Besides From, do you have anything else coming up?
Well, hopefully season 3 of the show.
I didn't know if you were working on other things. That's what I meant.
Right now, just with the time that's left, I've been doing some, it's the 75th anniversary of the Actors Studio actually this year, which has been amazing. And they've been doing a whole bunch of series of really great events. They did a talk back with Al Pacino after a screening of Dog Day Afternoon. They did an in process night that I was a part of where we get up and do stuff that, you know, with our teams, other actors by ourselves and let the public to come in and see and witness how we work in there, which has also been a really fascinating experience. So I have some stuff coming up next month that I'm doing there that I'm also pumping on Instagram and whatever else that's just helping promote this amazing place that I'm a part of and I get to keep working at. So I'm kind of, for the next several weeks, I'll be involved with that stuff.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you so much.
Okay,
once again.
I just have one last question because it's hold on, Alex. I just put on my glasses.
It's getting serious.
What is your favorite swear word?
Yeah. What is your favorite swear word?
Favorite swear word. Well, I can say this. You know what popped in my mind first, Lizzie, is my favorite English word, and I, this might be boring, is rummage, because I think it's a word that best describes what's happening, what you're doing.
No!
What's that? Oh, you froze, Lizzie.
It's a good... Oh. You got to say it again. You got to say it again, Lizzie.
No, that is a great word. That is a great word. Rummage.
It is a great word, right? My favorite swear word?
Rummage.
Oh, my God. And we can rummage. Say anything on this?
You can say anything you want here. I'll bleep it out, don't worry.
Yeah.
What do I say a lot?
No,
of?
You're
I mean,
not.
You know what? One thing that I say studio. A lot... One thing that goes around our house a lot that we love that we just throw out when we use it for in different contexts is balls.
Oh, you know
which
what?
Isn't, but it's not, listen, okay. It's not really a swear word. It's just yeah. balls, but I use it no. when I'm frustrated. Balls.
No, but
I use it when I, you know, to yeah. punctuate certain sentences to do anything. And my daughter's now, she's using it all the time too. It's great.
Wow. Yeah. Cause balls. It's like, if you've really messed up, or if someone is really yeah. messed up for me, it's barbaric yeah. fuck pig, you know? But all right. So
that's a good one. I'm going to use that one too. Diamond yeah. in the sun and barbaric yeah. fuck pig. Something.
Barbaric fuck pig. Yeah. Yeah. There's some real barbaric fuck pigs out there right now.
Oh my God. Yeah, there is.
But then, all right. And so then the last question, and then we are done for the day.
Yeah.
What is your least favorite?
My least favorite.
You cut out. Say it again.
What is your least favorite word? Your least favorite word.
I don't like the word moist.
Oh my gosh. I did not expect that.
But that's just popped in my head. Yeah, but I've been carrying that one around for years.
Everyone hates that word.
And there's an expression that I've never been a big fan of either, but you don't hear it anymore. It's more of our like our parents' generation is when people used to say, believe you me. Do you guys ever hear that expression?
Absolutely, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always like, that's just confusing.
You're going to find yourself in next week without eating.
Believe you me. I don't know. What are your words? What are your least favorite words?
You're fired.
I'm so used I guess to depending on the that. Game. I work on set. Yeah, I work on set. So I hear that all the time. Anyone I work with, if they haven't been fired, you're trash. You
exactly.
just you don't
that's right.
know what you're doing. You know? Yeah. If you keep getting hired and never get fired, then you are ineffective.
Exactly.
I work in showbiz, you know, Scott.
I know.
I mean, Scotty,
I'm there. I hear you,
it's
Lizzie.
All about being fired.
Well, I need you. Yeah, I know you need to get back to Manhattan to the actor studio because she's going to ask you 15 more questions.
I nearly teared up at one point, which I never thought I would on the podcast. So I thank you for that, Scotty.
Oh,
and Alex,
I'm sorry. I
you.
Didn't mean to.
Well, Scotty, we want you back at the end of after the whole season ends.
Yeah.
We'd love to do a little wrap up with you. And because I know you,
seriously,
you're
Alex, you can
character.
Wait that long.
Yes,
you can wait that. You know what?
I am patient.
I am not. Scotty and I are going to be braiding each other's hair by the end
yeah.
of the weekend.
Like Liz, like you and Liz.
Yep, so like Liz, here. Like Reed, like the other Liz.
That's
like,
right.
No, her and Liz, Liz Saunders, they actually talk about movie stars, they braid each other's hair, and they have pizza virtually. Every weekend.
I love it. I want to be there.
I'm telling you. Yes. I have no, I don't know the passwords. I don't know any of it, but that's
there's
what they do.
It.
Stone Secret Society.
It's
yeah.
Gotcha. Totally secret society, and yeah. I let them do it.
Liz
anyway.
And Liz looked so fabulous last night.
Amazing. Beautiful. Everybody did.
My God.
Everybody. I couldn't. Yeah. Harold looked stunning. Everybody looked amazing. Cordion. Everybody looked amazing.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I really wished I was there. I was sitting on Instagram kind of trying to catch up with all the stuff that From and MGM were posting and pretending I was there. But it sounds like I heard it was an amazing night.
Well,
great response. Everybody's really excited about the new season. So, again, thank you guys for everything.
I am so thrilled. I'm so thrilled. This is what you all deserve.
Thank
you.
You
better be there for season 3. And I want to see you in a nice outfit, whatever that is. And you're gonna
God. You know what? He could wear John Travolta's suit in Saturday Night Fever.
That's a great idea. White, you the black shirt.
Fabulous. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I love it.
And make sure you get your astrological medal. There you
go. Bay Ridge. There's Bay Ridge for you, Alex.
It's always about, you know what? No matter where you are in the world, you'll always find somebody from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I've been all over. I've been to Greece. I've been to France. I've always met somebody that has a connection with Brooklyn. And it's the most amazing place in the world. And I'm very fortunate to live where I live. And I'm just so happy that, you know, that you get to experience a little bit of that, because it's awesome. I love it here.
Yeah, we love it here.
And but anyway, we got to go before she starts, crying some more. And thank you so much, everybody. We're going to be pumping up for next season, which starts on Sunday. And we are almost...